All right. So, for those of you who don't know my New Year's Eve routine, I'll take a moment and tell you. This is the time of night, end of year, on the last day of the year. This is the time when we first reflect upon and review the year now completing, in this case of 2007. And then, as I do every year on New Year's Eve, exclusively, I deliver my dispensation to humanity for the following year, dispensation of divine grace and energy, which overlights and takes hold of the planet and the human consciousness, individually and collectively, like a ball of energy that sources and feeds all creation, all life streams, and all realms from which you can drink, be sourced, inspired, be fed, protected. And each year there is a new one, and of course each year builds upon all the others, so it's not something that comes and goes, it remains. And while these energies are always here, in each year I bring forth a specific one to hold and guide and shape the planet and to bolster and foster and amplify and accelerate people's unfoldments in very unique and specific ways when people attune to them and use them accordingly. And I'll tell you now, in case I forget since I'm speaking about it, only one request that I have, and I hope you all will, indulge yourselves. I ask, as part of my New Year's tradition that I like to share with others, that everyone hug every single person in the room. Don't leave the door until you've intimately connected with every single person here, because it's so powerful and momentous and auspicious a time to bring in a new year in your life, in the world, in the company of your soul family. So it's something that really needs to be acknowledged, and that blessing needs to be shared. I had said a year ago tonight that in the year of synergy, as probably all of you know, is exemplified by the principle that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that two things in and of themselves could not attain or achieve the greatness, the growth they could as when they were combined. And likewise, when two or more things come together in some form of harmonic convergence, there's a great expansion and acceleration that can happen. So how that plays out and was to play out in people's lives this year was that it was a year for powerful alignments to happen, particularly if you're looking in the spiritual bent. Some may have found individuals spontaneously coming into your life, the uniting with whom had a tremendous impact, even catharsis, on your life, taking you into a whole new realm, a whole new way of being. And conversely, some partnerships, affiliations, relationships just vanished, and there's nothing you could do to stop them. It's like a tsunami taking them out to sea. You just watch. And some may have fought and resisted and tried to hold on, and that, as you probably know, and some may testify, would have caused you tremendous pain and suffering. And likewise, those powerful new alignments and partnerships and affiliations would possibly have, in many cases, brought forth new creations, new endeavors, new journeys, new roads, new everything, many blessings. So that's what this year was all about. Many, if not most of you, will find when I speak the words I'm about to speak, you'll find that the events of today will have immediately turned prophetic, if not revelatory. So the dispensation that God has given me to bring to humanity, into the world and the whole cosmos this year is one of rebirth. 2008 is the year of rebirth on planet Earth and throughout the cosmos, throughout all life streams. And as I said, if you look back on what happened today, you'll see that today's events preempted my words I'm speaking now for so many people in so many ways, and for all of us in some way. We got a one-day jump start, and quite a big one, supercharged jump start. What this means and what it looks like is that the emanation of divine grace that through these words and through this revelation now, this energy taking hold of us and taking hold of this realm, this divine grace creates a window of opportunity. Again, all these energies are all here all the time, but this is very specific. Each one for each year means in that particular year, you have the potential for gain, for growth, for expansion in that particular realm or arena like never before. And perhaps like never again, but particularly like never before. Well, it can always be better. So that divine grace, heralding and harnessing the energy of rebirth, means there's an opportunity here, and a window, an opening, an invitation, and a blessing upon endeavors the same, for each one of us to reclaim or claim, as the case may be, to start, to begin anew, to make a brand new life, to have inspired within, to speak, to claim a vision for your life. And there's an energy here this year that will help anchor that, bless that, and empower that like you have never, ever had in your life. Now, there are things you must do, or you're invited to do, to assist in that. One, of course, is faith. You have to know and believe that this is so, that this is divine revelation being spoken, not that, oh yeah, that's nice. You know, many people say, seeing is believing, but like most axioms in the world of separation, that too is backwards and upside down. Believing is seeing. More accurately stated. So by believing it and knowing, yes, this is available to me, this is an act of grace from God directly, something that I can have and I can claim, I can make something of this. So I'm going to, or if I so choose, take this opportunity. Secondly, what you must bring to the table in perhaps a way stronger than you ever have, more with more conviction than you ever have, is forgiveness, particularly of self, but forgiveness of others as well. Because if you're going to walk around with your proverbial scarlet letter, you have no chance of rebirthing yourself, of creating a new life. I have to let go. Some of you who've come before me on this weekend, you've heard me say words like, all is forgiven. Your past is over. Your sins are forgiven. Just let it go. It was all part of this. I was quietly and secretly beginning to weave these energies in all through this retreat without speaking it outright. And what helps you do that, have that forgiveness mostly of self, is knowing and believing in this universal truth. Everything is forgivable in God's eyes and in reality, and everything is redeemable. Everything, there's no exception. We have people in this room who were drug addicts. There are people in this room who've had abortions, and some multiple abortions. There are people in this room who've abandoned their children. There are people in this room who have committed all kinds of, quote, crimes. Everything is redeemable. And if you don't believe me, read some of the stories of the great saints and of their dark pasts. their addictions, their vices. You have to believe that. Well, you don't have to, but as the saying goes, I strongly urge that you do. There is no crime, there is no sin, including murder, that is not forgivable and redeemable. It doesn't mean that these non-loving or misguided acts won't incur karma, or that it's not to say that no restitution is necessary. Of course, both are true and necessary. But that's a separate discussion. First comes the belief. Tear off the scarlet letter. I'm using a metaphor from Nathaniel Hawthorne's famous book by the same name. If you recall, those of you who don't know the literary reference I'm making, the woman was accused of committing adultery, which is relative if you see the story. And the priest made her wear a scarlet letter on her dress, on her chest, wherever she went, for the whole town to see and mock and ridicule and judge her and condemn her. That has to be removed, because in God's eyes, no one has ever fallen from grace. Ever. It is quite the opposite. The things we do as we bumble and find our way back into that light of truth, of love, are simply the things that we needed to do. It doesn't justify them. And that's something, again, a caveat I must speak to you all. As many people say, well, that it was all perfect, it was meant to be. No, no. The fact that God perfects all man's non-loving choices does not justify making them. It's a separate subject. But God does perfect them and can. And will. So you need to be accountable, you need to be responsible, you need to apologize, you need to make reform and restitution where necessary. But that goes hand in hand with first and foremost knowing that you have never fallen from grace in God's eyes, and that everything is forgivable and redeemable. Everything. And that opens the portal for you. That opens tremendous portal for transcendence, for deliverance. And that having been said, this is a year and a time to say, to close doors on your past, let chapters of your life fall away. For example, let's suppose you've been in some particular employment and there's been something whispering to you from your soul that you just know in your heart of hearts. It's what God's asking you to do. It's what your soul is dreaming or has dreamed for years and years of doing. But you thought, I don't have the money, I don't have the contacts, how will I ever do that? Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba. The song goes on and on and on and on and on. This is a year where that opportunity is there. This could very well be the year to take and make the leap of faith and know that the divine will source and empower that. And if it's coming from your ego or from your world of selfish desire, then you may very well step on a rake and feel the thwack of the rod against your forehead, which in turn is a good thing too. So, but that again is a great vehicle for discernment. For when you are in alignment with God's will, you will experience only ease, grace, and flow. Because God consciousness, or Christ consciousness, I define the six-pointed star. If you see the six-pointed star and slice a horizontal line through the middle, separating heaven and earth, Christ consciousness is the three higher points are a consciousness of peace, love, and joy, which then always manifests in the physical realm through ease, grace, and flow. And when you are experiencing and exhibiting these six attributes, it's fairly safe to say you're in alignment with God's will. Be very clear and be very sure in and of what you are calling forth. Look at your motive and your intention. Am I calling forth something or staking a claim to fulfill another selfish desire personal want, for fame, for gain, for notoriety, for vanity, for money? Or am I calling this forth simply to seek, to experience, to express my divinity, to feel closer to God, to feel the love of God flowing through me? And naturally, the latter description is of what I'm speaking. The former is simply a recipe for more suffering in this or any year. So, the same is true of relationships. If you've been waffling and waffling and staying in one for all the wrong reasons, or not entering one out of fear, intimidation, unworthiness, lack of courage, there's an opening here that says to you, you may claim this now. There is divine company and empowerment and inspiration moving with you in this direction. This is the year to be the phoenix. Rise from your own ashes. The phoenix births itself from the decay of its own former self and rises up. So watch and see how this plays out in your life. Watch and see the opportunities and the windows of opportunity that are presented for the very same. And for God's sake, take a chance. Take a chance and jump. What's the worst that could happen? Fall? Is there anyone here who's never fallen before? Either in the physical sense or in the spiritual sense. Notice my hand isn't in the air. Better to take a bold step and fall than to take no step and judge. And chances are, when your motive is pure, and your heart is filled with love and hope and praise, you won't fall. If you would have but the faith of a mustard seed. I often describe the dynamic between God and his beloveds, his children, as God sitting on one side of the Grand Canyon, God's children on the other side, and God's children living in the experience of what they believe to be separateness from their Creator, their beloved. They're saying, God, just show me, just prove to me unequivocally that you are who you are, that your word is real, that I will not fall. Just give me a sign, just show me and prove to me, and I'll jump 1,000 times, I'll jump, without a parachute, without anything. And God's on the other side reaching out saying, just jump and I'll get you, as I always have, as I always will. Well, who do you think has to give first? And the irony is God's always sending signs and always sending out. The people hedge and leverage in such fear, because they've allowed their five base and most basic senses to convince them that the material world is real when it is illusion. So many of us have allowed our minds to convince us that that which we see, hear, smell, taste, touch is real. And therefore, when divinity speaks, it's not believed. And God's saying, forget that. Forget what you've seen and forget what your teachers have told you and your lovers and spouses and friends and family members. Just listen to me. So you might say this is a year to make some leaps of faith in the ways and manners that I've spoken and sourced by the elements that I've described. You will see, I promise, it will pay off. And then there'll be some of you in the room who will tell me a year from now, well, you might say that I jumped, but I really feel like I was pushed off the edge of the cliff. There are, I won't name names, but I can see you in the room. There are three of you in particular who have a very profound experience of that, and six who will speak of it for sure, without a shadow of a doubt. They'll say, no, I didn't jump, I was pushed, I had no say. And I will say in return, lucky for you. Consider yourself lucky. that God made a preemptive strike in your behalf, on your behalf, and in your favor. But you'll be happy anyway. God is not so much concerned how you come, only that you come. So it's a wondrous, wondrous year. You'll also, wondrous blessing, every year is wondrous, a wondrous blessing that I bring. It'll be interesting to see how this same principle and these dynamics play out in the wider community and world, in politics, in business, in finance, in the world of entertainment, which is quite often a very immediate and exaggerated barometer for what's going on in the collective, amplified sometimes to disastrous proportion, but very indicative. Watch and see in the natural world of the elements, weather, in nature, evolution, species. Watch and see. Year of rebirth. And as people do trust and have that faith, to the degree that they do, you do, is to the degree that you will see people all of a sudden appearing seemingly out of nowhere, the famous overnight success stories. Because that a term was used years ago in a course I was taking called wind horse, this invisible rush of divine wind that comes behind someone when they're aligned with the divine and just works on their behalf, and you just sit there watching, thinking, more is happening than is commensurate with my efforts. Seems like how is the benefit? It doesn't seem like I did all that much, and yet the gain is so tremendous. And those who have been moving against the divine current, more and more of them will be moved out of the way as the new breed, as all these phoenixes begin rising and coming into position. So you'll see more of the change of power, the change of administration and institution, and very, very rapidly. If you thought 2007 was an accelerated year, this coming year will be about four times the acceleration of last year in all fields and all realms proportionately. To help you on your way, on all our way, I bring another gift, a sacred gemstone to have as a talisman, as a generator to help further enhance and empower this endeavor and this vision and this blessing. And it comes from your own native land upon which we stand. And it is the opal, which, interestingly enough, also happens to be the stone of the Aquarian Age, which says quite a lot about Australia, but that's another subject for another day. So having this gemstone on your person, in your auric field, on your altars, wherever you can, will greatly, greatly assist and empower all that I've spoken and be the constant reminder. It will hold the energies for you and it will amplify them for and to you. And again, you want to follow your heart. It doesn't mean go out and sell your house and buy all these opals. I mean, be in harmony with the universe. Spend within your means and don't ever act out of obsession or compulsion or obligation. Follow your intuition. If you don't feel guided to get one, then don't. It doesn't mean that you're exempt from 2008, you know. And it doesn't mean, as I said, you have to sell your house and get a second mortgage to go out and buy the best and biggest opal you can find. You make of it what you shall. But I was rather tickled, though, to know that I'd be here in Australia delivering this message and this blessing, and and seeing and knowing that the stone comes from the same land where the message is delivered for the first time to the whole planet, and also that it's the stone of the Aquarian Age, which is for a lot longer than a year. So that's really beautiful. And again, as I said, each year, these blessings, these energies impregnate the earth and ourselves and our consciousness and the collective, and they remain and continue to grow and prosper. So for those of you who do obtain this gemstone, it will hold that energy and continue radiating that to you each and every year. So great, great blessing. So as I said, a lot of the events of this day probably now make a lot more sense to some of you. Things that have been spoken to you, well, not only today, but this whole weekend, but especially through today's darshan, but all through this weekend, and even Mondays, those of you who were there, you'll see it'll make a lot more sense as time goes on. One comment I did want to make, I said it to a few people today, that today's afternoon darshan, more people were anointed with new names than I have ever given in any one event, and I found that extremely auspicious of this very energy I'm talking about, of rebirth. What could be more indicative of a whole new life than a whole new name? As I've told you, sound is the highest vibration in outer creation. Everything leaves the mind of God first, enters the outer creation through sound, then light, then matter. So your spoken name is the resounding vibration that's housed in your spinal column through your kundalini. So all these people, I don't even know how many. I mean, I lost count, somewhere between 6, 7, 8 of you all have brand new names. What's more indicative of a new life, a new birth, a new opportunity? Several of you have spoken about new careers, one's ending. A couple of you talked to me privately about relationships that you know are ready to go, and several of you tonight all talked about being in brand new homes. So the stage has been set. Now let's see what we make of it. Be in joy and have fun. It's all good, it's all perfect, and it's everything is a blessing. Everything. So exciting. Everyone have their toast in hand? We are on atomic time here, so we're accurate. Just so you know. You want to go from 20? And 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. And a blessed one it is. A blessed, blessed one. To everyone, cheers. Salud. Or as they say in Italian, salute per cent'anni. To your health for 100 years. These berries in your toast are all from Pranashakti, our ashram in Tasmania. Freshly picked and organic, of course. Mm-hmm. And now it's hug time. Happy New Year, I love you. Am I in love?